about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
So I always like to begin with some small talk to break the ice and make the other person comfortable.
Okay.
Have you ever posed for a painting before?
No, not actually. Not for anything like that.
You'd make a good model. You're very beautiful.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you so much for saying that.
You're welcome. So is that enough small talk to make you comfortable?
Yeah, I guess so.
And now.
It's pretty good, right?
No, it's not good.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 29th of July.
Oh, my God.
By the way, I think it's worth mentioning, as it is August this weekend, that that means it's practically Christmas.
Really?
Yeah, not really.
I was
that.
Thinking summer's almost not over. Really, not it's practically Christmas. Christmas.
Look, January seems like it takes 6 months, and then February 5 months, and then the year speeds up from there. And by the time you get to August, it's Halloween. Obviously, it's at least Halloween. And if it's Halloween, it's Thanksgiving. And if it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas. And then it's New Year's. So we're already living in 2015.
I'd rather
don't
not look at it that way.
Speed up my world.
Right.
I'm not trying to. It's just how it is. You guys know the second half of the year goes so much faster than
I
the first half.
I think you're making
of
it worse.
You disagree? It doesn't feel that way to you?
It may, but it doesn't feel like Christmas.
Dude, I agree with Lisa. I think you're exaggerating.
It's right now, it's between Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's where we're at right now.
I got to get
shopping.
Well,
then we are off.
I really need to get
don't
shopping
we have a
quickly.
Few days off?
I'm just saying, when you wake up Monday to come into work and you realize it's August, you're going to go, where did this year go?
But it's still going to be early August, though. That's the thing that Lisa and I are saying.
Hey, welcome into Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday morning. We do have a great show for you today, but I want to start with this guy. I always wonder how people learn, if they have an unusual skill that they can do, how did they first figure out that they could do it?
Right.
Right? Like the guy who, pulls a train with his earlobes, that guy. Like, how did he ever find out he could pull a train with his earlobes? Like, what were the circumstances of that?
Who, when they're younger, goes, I wonder if I could.
Right. Well, this guy's name is Brian Jackson. He is in the Guinness Book of World Records. His record is not called this, but I would say he has the world's most powerful lungs.
Okay.
He's in the book for bursting 3 hot water bottles in just over a minute. Now, a hot water bottle, as you know, is heavy rubber.
Yeah.
He blows them up like a balloon until they burst.
He's got lungs.
Yes, he does.
I think that's the point.
It can take 170 pounds of pressure to blow up a hot water heater. It's like blowing up 4 car tires. And here's what makes his stunt particularly dangerous is there's nothing to, except for his own self-control, there's nothing to stop him from having the air whoosh back into his lungs, which I would imagine if you've got that kind of pressure and that much air could kill you.
Yeah,
you
I would think so, yeah.
I don't know. I've never stopped to consider this topic.
think about that much air, 170 pounds of pressure coming right back into your lungs. He had one mishap early on in his career where he separated some ribs by having some air come back through his throat. He says that at least 5 people have died trying to blow stuff up. And it burst their lungs. He used to be a registered clown with years of drug and alcohol abuse until he found hot water bottles. Now, that's the only explanation in this article about how he made the transition to blowing up hot water bottles.
It's preferable to going to rehab?
Until he found hot water bottles, as I said, it's as if one was laying on the side of a road and he picked it up and it was a magical moment. Or
they looked at each other, there was a rainbow.
Right. He has since blown up more than 6,000 hot water bottles since then, making the rounds at schools, morning news shows, and world ceremonies. I saw a video of this guy this morning. They put it was hard to tell because it was under a car, but it was some sort of like a hot water bottle, maybe a little bigger that he could blow up. And he blew it up with his mouth and lifted a 2,500-pound car off the ground by blowing into it.
I don't – that's a weird skill.
Isn't it?
Like, I don't know that – how that helps you other than bar tricks.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, he goes around and gives speeches, and I mean, I can't imagine he's getting paid if he's going to a school. He has like an inspirational speech that he teaches about turning your life around and making something of yourself. But if I'm a kid, I'm sitting there going, yeah, it's better than being on drugs and alcohol, but you're blowing up hot water balloons.
I don't know. If I'm a kid, I go, I'd rather do drugs than alcohol.
I just, it seems like a very scary thing to do this, especially when the balloon burst. I mean, you know how scary it can be to have just a regular balloon burst in your face. This is hard rubber. You know what I mean? It can burst all over
you. I can't imagine.
So, anyway, if you want to, I think his website, if you're interested in seeing it or learning more, is ibelieveguy.com. Ibelieveguy.com.
Yeah, I don't think I need to visit that. Okay. I'm good with what you just said. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Who wants some?
On the program today, we have Dan Harmon, one of the guys who, of course, created Community.
Very smart guy, very talented guy, very combative guy. He's been nothing but in fights with NBC since that show was on the air. Well, maybe not so much now that it's been canceled, but yeah. It's had a long, tortuous history of that program.
We have a guy coming in the studio today who is shotgunning a beer a day for a year. A beer a day for a year, and he's doing it at different Southern California and maybe it's all of California locations.
Oh, that's interesting.
Sort of.
Now, that's somebody that the kids at the school assembly should look up to.
Agreed, yeah. So we have him on the program today. We have comedian Nathan Fielder on the show today talking about his show, Nathan for You. He's great. Sarah Shahi, got an interview with her over the weekend at Comic-Con. Yeah. She deserves every one of those.
Yeah.
Brand new citizen of the day as well. And we've got your tickets for our breakfast with Arcade Fire. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Bravo!
Bravo! If you were Bean, you'd go.
That's right. Those are good.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Friday morning. Red Bull Sound Space right down the hall here at K-Rock. Breakfast with Arcade Mother Effin' Fire. If you want to be there, we got tickets for you every single hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, including another pair of tickets to go see him at the Forum this weekend. Time for the first look at the Showbiz Beat now with Ralph Garman, a man I assume who is fresh off the Bachelorette finale last night. How was it, Ralph?
Nah, he's been off of that.
Oh, you haven't been watching? You bailed?
What? Well, you know, we haven't been doing the report or anything, right? Because I wasn't watching this season?
Yeah, Ralph's off.
I thought we hadn't been doing the report just because you had been otherwise busy with things.
Oh, no.
You
weren't watching it for your own enjoyment.
Much better than that. He's off.
Wow.
I'm just off this season. Relax.
All right. Well,
I just was not an Andy fan. I couldn't muster up the interest in what was going to happen to her because I disliked her tremendously.
By the time next season comes around, you won't remember, so it's all good. All happy.
I'll be back with The Bachelor next season.
This Bachelor's Paradise or whatever
it's called? Bachelor in Paradise.
Is that a thing you care about?
You're damn right it's a thing.
Now, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
They go to Bachelor Island on a Bachelor boat.
More or less. It's sort of a revamped version of what they used to do with the Bachelor Pad, they called it, where they would get all of the losers that were discarded by the Bachelor and Bachelorette, and they would put them in a house and make them live together and make them compete. And they would also, there'd be a ton of banging. Everybody start banging each other, and it's like jealousy and fighting. Invariably, there was a fist fight in a season. It was really very entertaining.
Well, that does sound pretty good.
Yeah, actually. You know the stuff we go over, the Bachelor Report, how we make fun of the people melting down and having problems like that? It was all of that compressed into one television program.
Sweet.
So it was pretty entertaining. I think Bachelor in Paradise will be similarly entertaining.
All right. I think that starts Monday, so you got something to look forward to.
Looking forward to it. Speaking of romance and love, boy, these vampires sure like to bone each other, don't they? Huh? You with
Which
me about
ones?
Vampires?
Just sure.
In general,
oh,
vampires.
Yeah, they do.
They tend to stick to their own kind and have a lot of hot, steamy sex.
It is a big part of it, yeah.
And the nice thing about vampires is they're most always great-looking,
in-shaped,
beautiful creatures.
Right.
From what I know about the vampire world.
I think you're pretty accurate with that.
What's happening again? Ian Somerhalder of Vampire Diaries and Twilight actress Nikki Reed apparently are a brand new couple. And they're spending a lot of time together draining people's blood.
I'm guessing. Or something.
Speaking of love and romance, Kendra Wilkinson from The Girls Next Door. Remember Hugh Hefner's old girlfriend was on that show? And then she married NFL wide receiver Hank Baskett. And then they had a little trouble because Hank spent some time with a transgender.
And she's all uptight.
And their relationship is in trouble, but Kendra has the perfect solution. She wants to follow, according to friends, in Tori Spelling's footsteps and put their troubled relationship on television in a reality show.
Yes, yes. That would solve everything.
That's the best way, really, to fix your problems is to go on television.
Agreed.
And to do it. Does anybody have any sense of, like, this is kind of like a private matter, I'd like to do this just out of the limelight, away from public eyes?
It feels like once people get a little taste of the limelight, they just follow it blindly.
Regardless of whatever personal cost it may incur.
It's sort of a bummer.
Well, it's not just reality show stars who have troubles in relationships. Actors do as well, sometimes with their coworkers. This was a fascinating piece to me. Because you rarely hear one actor speak as candidly as Freddie Prinze Jr. has regarding working with Kiefer Sutherland on the series 24. It was crazy when he talked to ABC News at Comic-Con this past weekend. He said working with Kiefer on his series 24 nearly led him to quit acting together. It was so horrible.
He was going to quit acting forever, right?
He wanted out of the business because it was such a horrible working experience. I did 24. It was terrible, he told ABC News. I hated every moment of it. I just wanted to quit the business after that, so I sort of stopped. Kiefer Sutherland is the most unprofessional dude in the world. That's not me talking trash. I'd say this to his face. I think everyone that's worked with him has said that.
Wow.
He said, I worked for Vince McMahon at the WWE after this. But at least he was cool and tall. I didn't have to take off my shoes to do scenes with him, which they made me do on 24. Just put the guy on an apple box or don't hire me next time. I'm 6 feet, he's 5'4".
Is his main complaint that he had to take off his shoes?
No, it was a constant barrage of him being late and being unprofessional. And he didn't come out and say it, but I understand that sometimes...
Every once in a while,
sure. Kiefer would start smelling of scotch. And
Scotchy, scotch.
To get in my belly.
Yeah.
And lateness and diva-esque behavior... Now, this
on
was back in 2010.
Like that,
yeah, I know.
That's shocking. It's so intense, and the hours must be incredible.
It's a brutal schedule, and it's made worse when people behave like that. Sutherland's other co-star, Shere Agdashnulu, remember her? She was the Iranian, throaty-speaking Iranian actress who played the wife of one of the main terrorists on the show, if I remember correctly. She also said he was impossible to work with.
Wow.
Because of unprofessionally. This story is not new, but I'm just surprised Freddie Prinze would say it so publicly and with such gusto.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Most of the time, that's the stuff that doesn't get out.
Right.
You don't want to burn bridges. I mean, not that he wants to work with Kiefer again, but who knows? This could be held against him by, you know, a studio or an agent or any number of other people could hold it against
him. That isn't good for you.
Boy, you show up to work 300 or 400 times drunk, and this is how people
That's
treat you.
That's how it works.
It's not fair. Kevin, I
you guys talk behind my back?
I know what you're going through.
Okay,
I know
good.
What you feel like. Today's celebrity birthdays, musician and producer Danger Mouse, 37 years old today. Josh Radner, star of How I Met Your Mother, is 40. Will Wheaton celebrates his 42nd birthday. Country singer Martina McBride is 48. Geddy Lee. Of the band Rush.
Oh, we got to get some Rush on today, Ralph.
A little Tom Sawyer rock in these parts there. Maybe some Take Off to the Great White North. Remember that song?
Sure.
Take Off to the Great White North. Bob and Doug McKenzie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
61 years old. And Tim Gunn. Fashion icon Tim Gunn.
Oh, remember Psycho Mike loved him.
Hi.
Loves.
You really need to add some more pizzazz to that design you're doing. He's 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Stephanie Sullivan from Seal Beach is going to be joining us on Friday for our breakfast with Arcade Fire. Your chance to win coming up.
She's lucky.
Yes, she is.
Sure is. Big band, little room, and that includes tickets to go see the band this weekend at the Forum. Hey, who's better than Sarah Shahi?
Zero people.
Yeah, it's
zero
really people. Hard to imagine.
That is the correct answer. Person of interest, Sarah Shahi, joins us in an exclusive interview that Kevin taped down at Comic-Con over the weekend. That's coming up. But first, hey, it's time for Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Several options for you to choose from. Last Thursday, 54-year-old Lynette Ray called the police. She was worried that the meth she was doing was laced with something that she was not aware of, and she wanted to call the police to get their attention. So the police responded, and they walked into the house, and then she walked over to a tin container in the kitchen that held all of her meth. And she said, I think that's laced with something.
And then she went to the couch and sat down and started smoking it. And then the cop said, hey, you can't do that. And she said, I know, but please don't arrest me.
How did she envision that visit from the police was going to go?
I don't know.
That they'd test it and say, no, it's good. You're cool.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it up.
Smoke on.
Or, yeah, you know what it is, Lace? We'll track this down. So she sat down and did some more of it, and then she said, please don't arrest me, and they arrested her.
Well, they had to, didn't they? They had no choice at that point. It's crazy how many people contact the police because, you know, they felt like they got ripped off by a hooker or the car they stole didn't start. I mean, people just don't think it through.
A man in Florida, here's two stories in a row about bad parkers.
Okay.
People who park poorly. A man in Florida apparently got a dose of road rage. He was in a pickup truck, and there was a woman in front of him in a car, and she wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. So he got out of his truck, and he walked up and started pounding on her window. What are you doing? Go!
How many times have you wanted to do that?
How many times have I done it? It was a better question. So she got scared to death and pulled away. Well, he hadn't put his truck in park.
Oh, oh no.
So his truck ran over him.
Oh, no.
He's still alive, but he injured his hand and his foot.
Dumbass.
Right? He got out of his truck because he was mad at the woman ahead of him, then his truck ran over him. In the same vein, police say a woman is in serious but stable condition after she apparently ran herself over with her own car.
Wow, it's an epidemic.
What is happening?
This is happening. This one was in Boston. The woman who was not identified was apparently trying to check her parking job. So she was at a Westin hotel.
Right.
She pulled into the parking space. And, of course, she was like, no, I'm not sure. Am I good on that side? Am I good on this side? So she got out. And there's not enough detail in this story. You know how Bean always complains about not enough detail?
Right. Yeah.
She walked up to the front of her car to see how close she was to the wall. Mm-hmm. And she ended up falling and ended up stuck underneath the car. The car rolled over her.
Oh, my God.
And then so she summoned police. The police showed up, and by the time they got there, she had pulled herself out from under the car and was sitting in her driver's seat bleeding. Have you ever heard stories of people running themselves over?
Not often, no.
Yeah, that is not a successful parking job.
And finally, in the Kevin Amin Citizen of the Day, the Ebola. Good times with the Ebola.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is a huge epidemic in Africa.
The Ebola plague is spreading across Africa. There's no cure.
Right.
What happens when you get it? Oh, nothing. You just bleed out of your eyes and every orifice.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't look at pictures of people with Ebola, folks.
Yeah. But there's a new dance tune.
Is there?
There is. There's a new dance tune. It's called Ebola in Town. And apparently all of the radio stations are playing it. It's a rapper.
In Africa?
Yep. It's a rapper by the name of Shadow who says, quote, don't touch your friend, no kissing, no eating something. It's dangerous. Well, I'm not sure how you avoid eating anything, but the lyrics continue. If you like the monkey, don't eat the meat. If you like the baboon, don't eat the meat. If you like the bat, don't eat the meat.
Sounds catchy.
Here's the dance song.
Ebola, Ebola, yeah. Don't touch your friend.
Ebola's not all bad. Some good comes out of it.
It's got a cool theme song. That's the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
Give you another chance to win your way into the Kevin and Bean Breakfast with Arcade Fire in about 20 minutes or so. Nathan Fielder from the hilarious Nathan For You show coming up. Also, Dan Harmon, creator of Community, on the way. Kevin, tell me about your girlfriend you ran into at the Comic-Con over the weekend.
Well, I was interviewing Sarah Shahi, who is maybe the best person on the planet.
Boy, and she sure might be.
She's on A Person of Interest. This is one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to tell from my voice that perhaps I was a tiny bit hungover.
Oh,
as we had been at parties till about 2:30 or 3, I think. And then I got to sleep about 4, and then we were at her hotel at like 10.
All right.
Okay. So I don't sound great, but she, as always, is awesome.
You are being watched. The government has a secret system, a machine that spies on you every hour of every day. I designed the machine to detect acts of terror, but it sees everything. Violent crimes involving ordinary people. The government considers these people irrelevant. We don't. Hunted by the authorities, we work in secret. you'll never find us. But victim or perpetrator, if your number's up, we'll find you.
Sarah Shahi.
Hello, California.
How are you?
I'm good.
I miss you guys.
I've actually been a little bit better because we were out pretty late.
I just woke up. But well, no, I didn't go to sleep, I mean. By the way, where
are
my shots?
Not making sense.
But I really miss you guys because
we miss you too.
No, let me tell you why.
Okay.
Don't just say you miss me just because you want to placate me. Don't do that.
Hey, I'll placate if I want.
I'm in New York filming Person of Interest now. And the radio, they suck up there.
Oh, really?
They just talk and it's nonsense. And the guy was talking about his like dreams the other day and it was just bullshit. And they're just ass. I hate New York radio stations.
Wow.
I miss you guys.
How much of the time you spend in New York?
A long time.
Is it like most of the year?
It's like, yeah, I mean, it's for, 22, 23 episodes long. So it's like 9 months.
That's crazy.
9 months.
I'm not 100% positive that I remember exactly where we are in the story. Person of Interest comes back September 23rd.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Oh, great. Thanks for telling me.
Glad to be of service.
It's one of those things where because everything is so, they don't want to reveal too much. I mean, there's less that I can say than what I can say.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, but you didn't say it right.
Do I sound sober?
I know what you mean. You do sound sober.
I have a reputation I have to live up to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where we left off, Samaritan is now online. Samaritan is the other AI
computer.
We kind of have two gods now. There's the machine and then there's Samaritan. And Samaritan is now online and functioning and looking for us. And we've all gone undercover and we all have day jobs that we don't belong in. And the machine has not been giving us any numbers either, which, drives my character particularly crazy. I'm like a shark in water. I have to keep going, have to keep looking for some action.
You need to kill.
I need to kill. Yes. I have a thirst for violence and blood. In the season opener, the machine gives us our first number.
Okay.
And it's exciting in a way to see the other members of the team and to kind of figure out how we're going to navigate solving this without being caught by Samaritan.
You sort of softened a little.
I did?
Through last season.
What do you mean?
I mean,
what episode were you watching? What show were you watching?
I'm watching your show. I love the show.
How was I
softening? I don't know if you remember, but when you got the job, I tweeted you, don't this up. This is one of my shows.
Oh, I do remember.
Yeah.
I do remember.
And do not want you. I love you, but I don't
want
you.
Did I it up?
No.
Okay, good.
But the way they wrote your character is you came in like an ass kicker.
Yes, that's right.
And now you're sort of subdued. You still want to kick ass, but you're a little more subdued.
Wait, where are you getting this from?
I watched the freaking show.
I'm not subdued.
You're more than you were.
What?
You're way more than you Really difficult to hear that with being hungover. All right. So you're still an ass kicker. Fine.
I'm still an
All
ass
right,
kicker.
Take it easy.
I'm supposed to be TV's Catwoman. Don't f*** this up for me.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just trying to remember where we are in the story.
Well, you have a faulty memory.
You killed 10 people a show when we met you.
That's right.
Okay.
I did.
So now you're
Right. You're right. Okay, fine. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Thanks. Apology?
Okay. I'm sorry. You're the best.
Thank you.
Okay. Your shoes are large.
Yes, they are.
Your shoes are so big.
They're clown feet, I know.
And
yes. Tell me about Amy, because she plays Root.
She plays Root.
Man, she's a scary person.
She's incredibly scary.
I love the bad guy that just smiles their way through it.
Oh, no, she's great. Amy's wonderful.
She just seems creepy.
Uh-huh, yes.
And the creepiest line she says with a super happy
super smile.
And she's not stressed. And
What I love about what she does is she almost kind of sexualizes the machine in a way.
It's a relationship.
Absolutely. And I love that part of her performance. But Amy's awesome. Everyone, looky. Who is that? Mr. Steve Howie. And that's my sister. That's my sister, Samantha.
Hi, sis. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You have a very loud sister.
I'm not loud.
What are your days shooting this show?
What are my days?
Long, 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 long.
We've had a lot of nights recently. Cut it out. And so the schedule's been like from 3 p.m. till 6 a.m., that kind of thing.
So what else can you tell us about the next season? Anything?
That's all I can say, right? Yeah. Now you're just going to ask me about me.
So how are you enjoying San Diego? Sir, it's always great to have you on the program.
So good to see you.
When you have time, come in.
I will come in.
We'll have shots.
Yeah,
for you.
You give me the right stuff. You know how to get me out of bed that early.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys are early.
Yeah.
I'm a day drinker. If I can start at 7, be hammered by 7:15.
That's really more of a morning drinker.
Sure.
And that's a scarier beast.
You know
beast.
What? You can call it whatever
scary.
You
people
want.
Who drink at 7. I've been drunk at that time, but
good.
For the most part,
it's
if
from
you're
the night
drunk
before?
At 7:15,
yeah.
It better be from the night before or you have a problem.
You know what? I'm not here to judge.
I am.
Okay, good.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Breakfast with Arcade Fire, we've been talking about. We just announced it yesterday, and it's happening this Friday inside the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Now, they're a very popular band, obviously, playing two nights at the Forum this week. But not a lot of people know a lot of things about Arcade Fire. They're a tiny little bit mysterious, right?
Yeah,
well, I just know those pinball machines went up in flame.
No, that's different. That's not that kind of arcade.
It's not
what?
A real Arcade
this is
Fire,
a band.
Ralph.
It's a band. That's
but right. If you do know Arcade Fire and you would like to win your way into the breakfast with, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Our man Rodney Bingenheimer, the legendary DJ here at K-Rock, claims to know everything about the group. He says you can't stump him with your Arcade Fire trivia. If you'd like to try, if you have a question you'd like to ask Rodney about Arcade Fire, you can get through. You can win your way in at 1-800-520-1067. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah. Last night, as being mentioned, was the big finale for this season's Bachelorette.
Couldn't
Andy,
believe
Andy, Andy
Jillian,
made her choice.
Huh? What?
Andy.
Andy.
Jillian. Andy made her choice.
Right.
She picked Josh.
Josh, who thought that was
no,
coming?
No, I saw Josh coming.
Josh, that guy.
He'd
be out early.
Poor Nick.
Oh, Nick.
Oh,
I feel bad for
Nick. Why do you feel bad for Nick?
I don't know. It's just something inside of me, you know?
Because sure. He lost to Josh.
He did lose to Josh, yeah.
Right.
He was in love with Andy. She broke his heart.
Sure.
So last night, after the finale, of course, they've got After the Final Rose.
Right.
Which is sort of the post-game recap, where they get Andy out there, and she sees the men that were competing for her heart for the first time since the reality show was filmed. And so a lot of, I think...
Good times?
No? Seething, emotion, resentments.
Okay.
Things get come out in conversation that perhaps have been thought about and held on to, and it festers, and then... This,
like happiness?
Not so much
not
happiness.
Joy?
This is what Nick... The question Nick had to ask her in front of a live television and national audience on the Final Rose show last night.
If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me. I don't.
Well, first of all, I think that's kind of below the belt. I think that's something that should be private and kept private.
He outed her as a bone.
He sure did.
Wow.
But
wow.
Having said that, that's good, right? Wouldn't you
it's
be
good
happy?
Television.
I mean, wouldn't you be happy if that happened with you? I'm not sure what you're
asking. I mean, has she had sex with him?
Just somebody
just
has sex
had
and doesn't
sex
want a relationship.
He's sensitive.
Whatever.
But they weren't in that position. It wasn't a one-night stand, Kevin. They were supposed to be working towards a relationship.
Yeah, I know, but that's the fake premise for the show.
No, that's
whatever.
What was happening with them.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He was in love with her,
well,
and he
I
said,
know, that's where
if
they
you
find
didn't love.
Love
me, why did you make love to me?
Right.
And I love her response was, well, that's below the belt. So at least she knows where the genitals are, which I thought was good.
It's a good start.
And so he said it in front of everybody. He's like, oh, snap.
So now the
that's
guy
sort of understood in The Bachelor, but no one ever really says that they bone anybody
right.
else. So that was sort of earth-shaking for the
so
Bachelor.
The guy that she did pick is thinking, so a week ago she's rolling around in the sheets with
right,
this dude.
Right,
it's awkward for everybody now.
She's in the fantasy suite banging number two.
Do not.
And number one, and who knows how many other numbers.
That's right.
Do not tell me they're not really finding love on this show.
You don't know, man.
I do know. I know they're not finding love on this show.
Hey, it's all about One Direction, right? Are you with me? We live in a One Direction world.
Unfortunately, we do.
They're popular, yeah.
So imagine how the Twitterverse exploded when Liam Payne posted a photo of his junk on Twitter last Sunday. Now, relax, ladies. It was him without pants, but he had pixelated his man parts.
Why would he do that?
Because he wants to drive 13-year-old girls into a frenzy. This started a online movement, hashtag UncensoritLiam. All the girls who want to see his junk unpixelated.
Yeah.
So he posted a second photo 7 hours later that showed he was actually wearing underwear the entire time, and it was just a big gag.
Oh, he's so wacky.
Good old Liam.
Oh, my God, it's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am shitting all over myself. See? It is One Direction.
See? That's why he did it, so people like Beer Mug can have a thrill.
It's true.
Yes, so.
Now, while Liam's having a little clean, honest fun there on the Twitter, his bandmate, Zayn Malik, not doing so well.
No, don't get me started on Zayn.
Zayn's the one Andy picked instead of Nick?
No, Zayn Malik's one of One Direction.
Oh, One Direction. We're still talking about
One Direction.
Okay.
He tweeted on Sunday, hashtag Free Palestine. Uh-oh.
Oh, why is he getting into that?
Why is a boy band member getting into Middle Eastern relations?
Unbelievable.
Leave that to important celebrities like Selena Gomez.
That's right. Well, the negative response, as you can imagine, was fast and furious. He's getting death threats. Many like the following quote, "Are you still alive? You should be dead by now." And, of course, kill yourself, a very popular answer.
Sure.
The other responses were kind of sad, I thought. One little girl tweeted, "You have fans in Israel. It broke my heart that one of my idols wants me to die." Boy bands shouldn't get into politics.
Nope.
Right? Let's just put pixelated pictures of your underwear up there and just let it be at that One Direction. Today's celebrity birthdays, Geddy Lee of Rush is 61 years old today. Director Ken Burns, best known for his documentary, 61 years old. Will Wheaton, 42 years old. Actor Stephen Dorff is 41. Josh Radnor turns 40. Singer-producer Danger Mouse celebrates his 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7. All right. That was Jen and Dean.
Nope, that's Arcade Fire.
Dead Man's Curve.
It's Kevin and Bean.
Nope.
Show.
All right.
Arcade Fire. We're doing a breakfast with
K-Rock. Rodney on the Rock Show.
Okay, right.
No, it's coming up next.
Let us handle this, Rodney, actually.
David Partridge.
That's
himself.
Not happening.
No, nope.
That's not happening.
We're not at all. Listen, Rodney, that was the Arcade Fire.
David
that's
Cassidy.
The band that we're having the breakfast
Keith
with.
Keith Partridge.
Okay, thank you, Rodney. Listen, we have listeners on the phone, Rodney. They're going to ask you trivia questions about that band that we just played. Now, we were led to believe that you, although you specialize in 80s music, that's kind of your focal point on your Sunday night show, you also are familiar with the bands of today, right?
All right. Bands.
So, yes.
Right. So, you know about Arcade Fire. If people ask you Arcade Fire questions, you're probably going to be able to come up with the answers, right?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. 1-800.
I think he's talking about the band there, Bean. I'm not sure.
Me.
Oh, okay. The band. Uh-huh. That's what I thought. 1-800-520-1067. If you've got an Arcade Fire question, and you can stump Rodney.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show.
Nope, K-Rock. Still Kevin and Bean, still doing the contest for Arcade Fire.
Calling now for
LaMange
tickets.
Let's start with Chad in Montclair. Hi, Chad.
Hey, guys, good morning. Good morning, this is May.
Good morning.
Rodney, it's an honor.
All right, thank you.
All right, stump Rodney.
All right, what's the lead singer's name of Arcade Fire?
Belinda Carlisle.
Now, Rodney, give it some thought. You know it's a guy that sings the song, so you know it's not Belinda Carlisle.
All right.
Okay. All right, what is it, Chad?
Yes, Win Butler.
Win Butler. Does that ring a bell?
Right, what did I win?
Win Butler. No, that's the guy's name, Win.
I win a butler?
Oh, for God's
sake. Awesome.
Hold on, you're in the drawing.
I'd be like Batman.
I'm afraid that was the easiest question you're going to get here, Roddy, so now I'm concerned about this game.
Although Eric has a pretty easy one from Agoura Hills. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Stump Rodney, please.
What is the name of their Arcade Fire's latest album?
Whip It.
Now, do you really think that's a Devo thing? Do you really think that this is Arcade Fire?
Whip It, Arcade Fire.
Oh, for God's sakes. Eric?
Whip the Fire.
Is it Whip It?
No, it is Reflector.
Just came out not too long ago. Reflector.
Whip It, real good.
It's our latest. All right.
All right. Okay.
All right. You are in the drawing as well, Eric. Thanks for playing. Who's next?
Am I in the drawing?
Right. No, you're not in the drawing.
All
you're
right.
Helping
that's
us find.
Godhead. I'm in the drawing.
Matt in Long Beach. Hi.
Good morning. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning, Matt from Long Beach.
Stump Rodney.
Who is the guest artist featured on the single Reflector?
Taco.
Is it? That would be awesome, by the way. Is it Taco?
All right.
Close. It's David Bowie. David
putting Bowie. Putting on the hits. Putting on the Ritz.
Right, no. That's wrong.
Taco.
You haven't gotten any of them right yet. You know that, right,
David
Rodney?
Bowie, I know that name.
All right. Let's go to Crystal.
China Girl.
Stump Rodney. Hi, Crystal.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I thought you said Chris.
Major Tom.
What? Stop saying things.
David Bowie.
Wait, Crystal has a question for you, and then you'll answer.
Crystal.
I want to know if you know how many albums they have out.
99 Luftballons.
That's not... Rodney, I feel like you're not trying.
Is it 99 Luftballons?
No, it is not.
All
no.
Right. Godhead.
It's four.
It's four. It's only four.
Four Luftballons?
Oh, for God's sakes.
And Rodney, you play the Arcade Fire on your Sunday night show.
All
you're
right.
Familiar with this band and this
Rodney
music.
Rodney on the Rock Show, Sunday night.
All right. Let's go to Ruben from Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Stump Rodney. That's what's going on.
All right. I just want to know if he knows when Arcade Fire's first Coachella appearance was.
Oh, yeah. They played many Coachellas.
First Coachella appearance. Adam and the Ants.
Okay, that's not a year. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't seem to you like the answer should be a year?
2000 Adam and the Ants.
What year was it, Ruben?
2005.
2005.
Oh, so close.
No, not close at all, really.
We got time for one more, I think, in Stump Rodney.
What do you do?
All right, let's go to David. I believe this might be...
All right, David Cassidy?
Nope.
Another Partridge from the Partridge Family.
Very easy question. David and San Dimas, hi.
I hate the 90s.
All right.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Stump Rodney, that's what's going on.
All right. Where is Arcade Fire from?
Berlin.
Easy one.
Berlin.
You didn't even think for a second.
Sexima.
You're talking about a song.
Do they seem German to you?
Autobahn.
No.
What is it, David?
Der Kommissar.
They're from Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
That's right, Canada.
Canadian.
They sure the hell are. All right, David, you are in the drawing, as is Chad, Eric, Matt, Crystal, Ruben, Nicole. Wow, everybody stumped Rodney. Only one can win tickets for the Breakfast with Arcade Fire this Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and tickets to go see him at the Forum this weekend. Who's our winner, please?
Blondie.
Eric.
Shut up, Rodney.
Eric, no way.
Congratulations.
Blondie wins.
Oh, Deborah no Harry. Way.
Breakfast with Arcade Fire. Thank you, Rodney.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam.
Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our old friend from the sports world, Matt Money Smith, will be here to talk about the new Lakers coach and the Donald Sterling trial that's going on. And more tickets for Arcade Fire. On the way from the Kevin Beach on K-Rock 2. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Nathan Fielder back to the program. He, of course, is the creator and star of Nathan For You, which airs Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Hi, Nathan. How you been, man?
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Our pleasure. You are a business advisor on the program. For folks who have not seen it yet, please explain what that means, sir.
Well, on the show, I go to real small businesses, and I give them out-of-the-box or unorthodox methods that they can better market themselves or make more money. And I have a bit of a business background. Before I started doing comedy, I got a Bachelor of Commerce degree in Canada, where
okay.
I'm from.
That's sort of like high school here?
yes. University in Canada is like high school here.
Okay. Yes. Check it.
Now, these are, and I hate that I have to ask this question, but you can't believe anything you see on TV. These are actual – none of these people are actors. They are real people running their real businesses, and you are really doing these experiments.
Yes. We go to – most of the businesses are in the Los Angeles area. And, yeah, all the businesses we help or go to in the show are real businesses. You can look them up. And, yeah. And so we try our best to – you know, I try to go in there, and a lot of the ideas are obviously very absurd. But
no.
I try to sell them as best I can, and they all do have some element of them that will work. So
right.
I can argue.
So for instance, this season, as an example, Kevin, Nathan went to a maid service, somebody who provides maids for people's homes, and said that the problem is that it takes too long. You got to be out of your house or underfoot when somebody's cleaning your house. So what if we cleaned your house in 6 minutes by sending 40 maids to your house at one time?
I like it.
That's the kind of thing that you talk them into doing, and they go along with it. Why do you think the businesses let you do it?
Well, firstly, I mean, who wouldn't want a house cleaned in 6 minutes?
It's a genius idea, right?
I mean, she said, actually, the maid service owner said she has sent, you know, teams of four before, and they can get a house done in an hour or something. So it's, you know, it's not
that much
too
of a stretch,
crazy
right?
for them. But, you know, it's really, it looks very, very silly. But I think part of it is that, you know, when I'm pitching them these ideas, you know, I make sure to be very genuine about it and that I actually really want to do it and believe it's a good idea. And I think a lot of times you see the business owners, you can see on their face that they don't want to do it,
right?
But they don't want to hurt my feelings. So
but she seems so sincere and so earnest.
Saying, okay, yeah, let's try it, or that sounds good.
And their eyes are like, oh, God,
yeah.
No. Oh,
so no. They're not really saying what they think because a lot of these people are incredibly kind.
Right.
And I think a lot of the times that's kind of what I like about the show is that you see these people being unnecessarily kind, which is very nice and refreshing to see.
How many people start this experiment with you and then halfway through go, you know what? We're not going to send 40 maids to somebody's house. Thanks for your time.
It hasn't happened too often where, you know, we make sure that we're working with the people and we make sure they're comfortable the whole time. And
right.
Like, you know, that's why a lot of the ideas we really have to think through to make sure there is some, you know, like that nothing will do any damage to the business, but also that, you know, there is some good argument as to why this should work. Because
right.
if there isn't, they'll just be like, no, I'm not trying that. That makes no sense to me. But we have had one person, one or two, I think, halfway through where they said they just don't want, don't want to do it anymore.
Thanks for your time, but don't come back.
Yeah.
I think you get away with a lot, too, though, because you look harmless. You look young and earnest. And people think you're not trying to rip them off or embarrass them or something like that. You are so sincere in what it sounds like is your attempt to help them. And I think that that works in your favor, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of the ideas are also, even though they are unconventional, they do work in some ways. So I think there is something to it. But I don't know if, yeah, I mean, hopefully I come across as, I like just kind of laying it out there and, you know.
Because you're really an evil genius.
Oh,
you're really setting a trap is what you're doing.
I don't know about that.
The best moments in every show is after the pitch before they've accepted it, where you just go, okay, now what's going to happen? I'm thinking about it. Okay.
Right. You can see their thought process and everything.
But I don't want to do it. But
I don't know. You know, a lot of times people, you know, in shows like this, you see people kind of, you see the worst qualities in people sometimes when you're dealing with real people, but I like to bring out the best stuff in them, and I think when people are, you know, a lot of people are cynical about the world and people, but when you see these people being incredibly nice, and I think it's refreshing and so endearing to see people like that. So I like to bring out, you know, it starts off with these absurd business ideas, but it often goes to an unexpected place that reveals some sort of human moment about the people, and I, you know, that's the goal, is just to bring out something that's endearing about the person.
Well, that's pretty much the opposite of our goal, isn't it?
Yes.
We look for the
yes,
worst thing about people and try to exploit it.
Yeah, that's how I structured it, is to do the opposite of what you guys do. Yeah.
That's the recipe for success, by the way. Nathan Fielder is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know we have to take a break, but I have to ask, because you talked about the unexpected things that you learn about people. If you would, let's talk about the real estate episode. You had a brilliant idea to help a local Southern California realtor stand out from the pack by advertising that she will sell you a ghost-free home, because your research showed that half the people in America believe in ghosts, right? That episode took some very bizarre turns with that realtor, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the premise was, yeah, no one can guarantee their homes are ghost-free. And since 50% of people believe in ghosts, that it would be a very lucrative market to brand yourself as the ghost realtor. But what we didn't know going into it, you know, you initially expect, you know, every business owner to kind of maybe be kind of reluctant and not
right.
really into it. But it turned out she not only believed in ghosts, but had a very violent experience with a ghost one time in Switzerland.
Right.
She didn't even reveal it at first. You know, she slowly began to open up about it. And she really embraced the idea as well, because she very much believed in it.
So it actually meant, she actually meant it.
She meant it.
Ghost-free houses.
Yes. Well, I think she because it, you know, aligned with her beliefs, she was really into it. And it became this story almost about her as much as it was about... So it was great because it like told a different... It showed a different thing about
it. Was a great episode, and they go in and they find a ghost in a house, and then Kevin, they bring an exorcist in.
Good.
And I have a clip from that episode because I think it's so great, and this is the brilliance of Nathan and his improvising too. So he's got an exorcist there who's going to remove evil spirits from his body, and he thinks, hey, that's something I could really use.
Do you have any health issues? Are you constantly getting sick? Do you have migraine headache hitting you all the time?
I do have one thing, but
what?
It's kind of private, personal.
All right.
It's a hemorrhoid.
Yeah, that's demonic. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So how do you say it again? I don't say this name very often. Hemorrhoid? So let me go ahead and address this thing right now, okay? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command demons of hemorrhoids. I am casting you out, evil spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hemorrhoid demons, come out!
And they're gone.
Wow, you look different.
I do?
Mm-hmm.
And there's the realtor again, so into it. That was fantastic. Nathan Fielder is here. Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central is Nathan for You. The all-new episode tonight is going to be the dumb Starbucks episode that we've heard so much about. We'll talk to Nathan about that as well when we return right after this on K-Rock. Nathan Fielder in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, the star of Nathan for You, which airs Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central. By the way, congratulations. You have already been renewed for a third season, Nathan.
Yes.
You must just be rolling in money and chicks at this point.
Yes.
That's how it works,
rolling
right?
in money and chicks.
I think it's a little more low-key than that.
Yeah. Is there ever a time where you – what is there anything in your life that just makes you yell and just bust loose and go crazy? Like, are you a crazy sports guy? Or what gets your juices flowing, Nathan?
What makes me yell?
Well, yeah. What makes you have any energy more than you do right now?
You know, it's so funny because I don't – like this is – I've been in my body my whole life. So
right.
To me, this is normal and I judge everyone compared to me.
Okay.
So I'm thinking like what makes you guys calm down?
Yeah, well, you put it's a valid that way. Question. I guess if you're the baseline, then we're
right.
running around with lampshades on our heads all the
I'm
time.
I'm the
I guess.
Normal for me. Because okay. I know me the best.
All right.
Tonight's episode includes dumb Starbucks. Now, we heard a bunch about this when it was being filmed months ago. And in a way, did that kind of bum you out that it kind of created a news event way ahead of the show actually coming to air?
Well, no. You know, sometimes in the show, because we deal with reality, you know, we have things that do intersect with the real world. And this was one of those things where in the show I'm opening up this shop, but because it, you know, I have a high threshold for what the reality of the show should be. If I'm opening a coffee shop in the show, I have to open a coffee shop.
Right.
That was my, you know, logic. So
okay.
We, you know, there's a whole story behind it that obviously wasn't reported by anyone because no one really knows it. And the whole genesis of that. But we, you know, when we opened it up, I just wanted to operate it and see what would happen and keep it open for as long as possible. So we kind of knew that maybe some people would talk about it in some capacity. But, you know, what happens in the show, because it's documentary, we'll put things into the real world and then embrace what happens as part of our story.
Right.
So... it turned out to be way crazier.
It's an international story.
I mean, I kind of thought, and a lot of people on the show thought, it would be kind of maybe a local food blog story.
Right.
I didn't think it
would
get...
That's as big as it would get.
Yeah, or like local LA news, you know. But it was kind of... It very quickly, within 24 hours, kind of got on national attention. And I think at first when people came in, they... came in because the dumb was kind of small. People
yeah.
came in thinking it was a Starbucks.
It did say dumb Starbucks, and dumb is a much smaller word.
Right. But yeah. you're just so familiar with the logo and everything.
Right.
You're not expecting something different. So you kind of look at it quick and come in, which was the initial intent in the show, is to trick people into thinking it was a Starbucks to get kind of brand recognition.
Right.
And instantly. What did you have? I mean, offer as many drinks and pastries and whatnot as you could that looked just like Starbucks stuff? You were really just trying to capitalize on their success, right?
Yeah. I mean, the goal was wasn't, a lot of people, you know, after it happened were critical, like, oh, this wasn't a funny parody, this wasn't clever. But the goal wasn't to be funny or clever. It was just
funny to me.
Fulfill the minimum requirements to be a parody. To use their corporate name and logo, because under parody law you can do it.
Right.
So it'd be like somebody putting a radio station on and calling it Not K-Rock and playing all the same music and trying to sound exactly like we could, just to kind of piggyback on the popularity of our station.
Right. So the joke was, yes, just doing the minimum to fulfill, you know, the legal requirements, which was even funnier to me that people were upset that it wasn't clever and that we did just put dumb before every drink.
Well, we have a piece of audio from the show, again, that airs tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. This is one of your customers who comes in who's a little bit confused about the kind of restaurant you're running.
Do you have your license to sell food and drinks?
I mean, legally speaking, this store has to be categorized as an art gallery, so we don't have to abide by the same health regulations as a Starbucks would.
But who's held accountable if, let's say, your food is dirty or if there's...
I mean, we don't want any of our customers to get sick, but if they do, technically that's part of the artistic experience.
Okay.
All right. So who ends up shutting you down, Nathan? Is it the police because you don't have permits, or is it Starbucks that
the
comes
police.
In there with a... Oh, it was the police. Okay.
No, it wasn't
the
police.
He's laughing at that.
No. It was the health... Yeah, like, and that's something I didn't see coming, really. But the health department shut us down because we ended up not having...
Anything.
I mean, we didn't... Yes. We literally just rented a store front, made it look like a Starbucks, and then started selling coffee. I didn't think about all that stuff.
You just put an A in the window. That's all you do.
Yeah, I guess we could have done that, although that might have actually got us in more trouble.
Actual trouble.
But, yeah, the health department, after they shut us down, one of our producers had to go meet with them, like, in front of a panel.
Really?
Well, because... The maximum penalty for a violation is 6 months in prison.
Holy
and
crap.
I didn't know about that. No one knew about that. But one of our producers had to go. And obviously it was such a silly kind of crazy story when it happened that they were aware. So, you know, they were trying to his take on it where they were trying to be serious and talk about how bad it was what we did. But at the same time, they were holding back laughter.
So they sort of knew it was funny.
Yeah, and, so they kind of gave us a slap on the wrist and let us off, which was very nice of them. And I'll say publicly, thank you to the health department for not locking any of us up.
I would think that Starbucks, being as big a company as they are, would have had some sort of cease and desist order at 8:30 in the morning on your doorstep as soon as they heard about it.
You know, part of what I, you know... Starbucks has a bit of a reputation for being litigious, and I don't think, you know, they would want necessarily, in my mind, going into it, I was thinking, you know, it would be a pretty, like, if they're not sure what this thing is and then they sue or take some sort of legal action, I don't think they want to necessarily further their reputation in that way.
Right. Because all small coffee shops already hate them anyway.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean...
No, but you have to guess if they're going to do that or not.
They did make a statement saying you can't do this, it's illegal, you know, they weren't kind of happy with it, but...
You did put dumb, though. In your defense, you put dumb.
But was a parody. In our defense, we had a FAQ sheet that said we love Starbucks and this is not, we're not calling Starbucks dumb, it's just to use their logo legally.
Right.
Yes.
I bet there are more attorneys than there are writers on your show just because of stunts like this.
We have, yes, there. I mean, in the actual episode, which is cool, we talk. You can see I go to an attorney and get advice on how to actually do this, which is one of my favorite scenes.
Can't wait.
This year, because it gets pretty crazy.
Can't wait. Tuesday nights, hey, that's tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central.
Tonight.
An all-new episode of Nathan for You Tonight is Dumb Starbucks. I can't wait for the rest of the season. It's really been so entertaining, Nathan. Great to have you stop by the Kevin Amin Show again.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks
it.
For having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Man.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
I don't speak Kevin, so I'm just going to say let's have Ralph do the showbiz beat instead.
My bad. I would be a lot less happy than Kevin is if I had his brain.
No, because if you had my brain, you would learn to just laugh at it.
Would you?
Yeah. Most of the time.
All right.
Sometimes you cry at a beer, but other than that, most of the time.
Porn star Kim Kardashian. Reports are, friends are saying, inside sources report.
Yeah.
Her marriage is already in trouble.
Sure. Yay! Honestly, though, wasn't it in trouble before they even got married? With those two?
I don't think so.
Those are the rumors.
Look, these tabloids say this kind of stuff's just to generate interest and get people to read their magazines. I understand that. That all being said, I pray to God this is true.
Yeah.
She's so depressed.
Yeah.
About Kanye West not paying attention to her, featuring most on himself. That's got to be a shock, right?
Yeah, no way to see that coming.
Who would see Kanye West being self-absorbed? That she is not spending any time with her baby North.
Good.
Kanye won't spend any time with her or the baby, apparently. And she's taken to overeating and has now gained 22 pounds.
That was quick.
How hilarious would a big, fat Kim Kardashian be?
That'd be pretty funny.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, it really would.
Someone who's all about the image and the look and the Instagrams, if she just became a big, old, fat person.
With a Twinkie always hanging out of her mouth. That'd be awesome.
She could go on The Biggest Loser with her brother.
That's right. They could make a Kardashian edition of The Biggest Loser. The whole family goes on. That's right.
I like it.
And you give Kris Jenner the whip and a starting pistol, and she just works them all to death. I love it. This is Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, she's a good thing.
She's a good deal right there.
Yep.
See her at Comic-Con? She didn't run into her
at all? See her, no.
Yeah, she looked terrific.
No, she's great.
She said that she has a little bit of an issue with her fiancé, Jason Sudeikis. She isn't a label-conscious person at all. She is not a fashionista, as they say. He, however, is obsessed with sneakers.
Okay.
He owns 200 pairs of Air Jordans.
What?
Wow.
And his collection takes up an entire wall in their home. He has them on display on a wall, 200 pairs of Air Jordans.
Does he wear them or is it just
a
collection?
No, I think he's a sneaker collector. You know, that's a thing where guys just go out and buy the shoes and just hold on to them like collectibles.
Right. I can't believe there have been that many different Air Jordans.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And so she said that's taken some getting used to.
I was going
to
say, she sort of knew that going in.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's different when it's kind of cute when you're dating someone, not when you're living with it.
Yeah.
Ask my wife about Batman.
Sure.
How she feels. Oh, it's cute. He likes that. That Batman guy. Yeah. Now it's like, good, just one room. Just keep it out of my face. Have we ever done weird collections? What do you collect? Have we ever done as a phone topic?
It's been a while.
We could certainly do that.
I'm always curious to know what people hoard and put on display in their homes.
Last time we did that, Kevin, didn't we have a guy who collected dryer lint?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember?
We did.
That was awesome. We need to do that again.
And I mentioned Batman. Sad news in the superhero world. Spider-Man was arrested in New York's Times Square yesterday. Yeah. Cops came by and asked him what he was up to. Turns out he was harassing people in Times Square, posing for pictures for tips. Now, they do that now in Times Square like they do in front of the Chinese theater.
Uh-huh.
Down there in Hollywood. A rookie cop came up to him and said, stop hounding people for bigger tips. You're making people upset. That's when the guy became unglued and punched the police officer. Told him to mind his own business.
This tape of Lisa and me doing it at the exact same time. Weird.
Turns out the New York City police do not like to be punched.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's pretty true in general of most police in every city.
It took about about a dozen cops joined in to help beat Spider-Man to the ground and handcuff him and pull him out of Times Square. So,
yeah.
Sad news when Spidey is...
It's not really Spidey.
Mixing it up with the police. He used to be on their side. Remember when they
nuts.
Right?
They would team up to like stop Electro or Doc Ock.
Homeless Spidey, not
or
so
the
cool.
Lizard. His mask was torn off, by the way, during the melee.
Oh my God!
Now what? Now we got to do is Secret Identity's out there. Spidey's black, by the way. I have no idea. No idea. Spider-Man was black. Today's celebrity birthdays: Danger Mouse is 37. Josh Radnor is 40 years old. Stephen Dorff celebrates his 41st birthday. Will Wheaton is 42. Ken Burns
legendary documentarian, is 61 years old. And Geddy Lee, lead singer of Rush, is 61! Ebola,
Ebola, no, this is not your friend. No touching. No. No eating something dangerous.
That's not Geddy Lee at all.
Oh, that's the song about Ebola.
That's the Don't Eat the Monkey Meat. That's that right. song. Right.
Sorry, this is the... A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Mean air driving with Ralph right now. I'm not sure that's a skill that translates, but...
He is a... he's got a high voice, that Geddy Lee.
He does, yeah.
He sure does.
There was a... band meeting 40 years ago where they looked around the room and they said, okay, you sing. Lighting out the day's
event. This sounds like he's on helium.
He does. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Anthony Ferrante. You don't know the name, but you will worship him because he is the director of Sharknado 2, the second one. He joins us on the program tomorrow. Also, Adam Carolla is going to be here. We got the commentator from the World Poker Tour on the program tomorrow. And you heard about that band of, what are they? They just signed a huge $2 million record deal. They're like 11 or 12 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
Unlocking the Truth, name of the group. We're going to talk to somebody from that band. Find out what that's like to have your major label record deal when you're in fifth grade.
That's crazy.
Make the rest of us feel like slackers. All of that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We spent the weekend in San Diego at the Comic-Con and talked to a bunch of great guests, including...
Dan Harmon standing in front of us. Not one, but two TV shows on the air. If you want to call on the air, being on the internet as well. How you doing, Dan?
We better call being on the internet, being on the air. All three of us are...
I mean, it just doesn't make any difference where it is. People can see it, and they like it, and they watch it.
Arguably, on TV, whether or not people see it has an awful lot to do with the opinions of a lot of people that don't cherish consuming things.
That's right. And you're the perfect person to ask this question because you have such a unique experience with Community on NBC and working with Adult Swim for Rick and Morty. They run it completely different ways. I mean, it seems like you've got all the freedom in the world to be as crazy as you want over on the Swim, and NBC was always up your grill.
Yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't say, you know, I would qualify that and say NBC was not, they weren't crazy about, like, they weren't up in our face on a constant basis. It was just the beginning of every season. They would say these kind of sweeping things like, You really got to make the show more mainstream, or, you know, the show's getting too dark. Or,
less paintball, less G.I. Joe.
Yeah, stuff like that. And then Sony would also chime in and say, plus it's too expensive. And so overall, it's just the corporate politics of network TV. They're always going to weigh on you more. And then the complicated thing is because the companies are bigger, within their structure, you have more employees who get into these kind of War of the Roses, like sort of political conflicts with each other. And you don't know... when you get a note from a company that size, whether it's coming from a place of actual genuine love of the show and wanting to make it better, or whether or not it's like the thing they need to say to you or get you to do is so that they don't get fired or yell
right.
at.
I'm impressed that the show Community was on as long as it was for as crazy and bizarre as it was compared to other TV shows.
Well, it's almost a testament to the state of network TV that we survived as long as we did. Is that you would think in a world of crumbling viewership that we would be the first to go, but no. We were adaptable, and we were a weird little cockroach that could survive in a time slot that a normal show would have been obliterated in. They put a lot of shows up against The Big Bang Theory. They put a lot of shows at 8 o'clock before Big Bang Theory was there. And the big difference is that a mainstream show has to start as this little larva and be allowed to grow into a powerful insect. And Community, because it kind of connected to a viewership that wasn't that measurable in the Nielsen ratings, it had a powerful kind of fan following. And it was a little bit reflected in the ratings, just enough to so that everybody coming in. And I think that network changed ownership. I lost count. Like every year, I had a new boss, and every year that new boss had a different opinion about where things should be. But the only thing that new boss could agree on was like, yeah, keep Community in that Vietnam time slot. Just let them keep soldiering on.
Was it genuinely moving for you as the creator of that show to see the support and love you get from the fans on the internet and in real life?
It was a huge surprise, and really, it was incredible. My idea to bring Community to Comic-Con the first time when I started sort of dawned on me that I was this nerd that had gotten this mainstream job, and wait a minute, we should be taking this thing to Nerd Mecca, because no matter what I do, these are my people. Like, this is my soul. Like, can we take this show there? And because they're responding to the show, and it's like, And then we brought it here, and it's just like the packed ballrooms full of people that it turns out are watching your show and paying attention. It changes the marrow of your bones when you hear it.
Now, Adult Swim, how's that different?
Adult Swim is just all of that same basketball with the weights taken off. It's just like you got one guy in Atlanta who loves the show, who isn't politically motivated because he doesn't fear anything above or below him, giving you his actual thoughts as a human being about the scripts and then about the cuts. And then you can take him or leave him, but he's so smart, we always take him.
You're fine with that kind of response.
Absolutely.
And the show is a smash. I mean, it's the number one show for men under 18-35 across every network at night, right?
Yeah, and it's the number one animated show as far as IMDb ratings. I think it's like the number one show. Its first season was the highest rated first season on Metacritic. It was incredible how sort of infallible it was in the eyes of the people that actually got to watch it.
Do you also love, and this is the voice of Dana Harmon here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about Rick and Morty, do you also love that you are not limited at all in terms of the budget with your own imagination? You guys can do anything you want when it's animated.
Well, yeah, it's funny the things that are difficult to do in live action and the things that are difficult to do in animation. Of course, you could just say a giraffe walks in the door, and that costs no more than saying a person walks in the door. But if the giraffe or the person walk in the door and they're framed head to toe, that's harder than if you frame them without having to show their feet touching.
Is that why there are more dogs on cartoons than giraffes?
Probably. But because you can put them below frame and just hear them. I don't know. But the funny thing is that the thing that's exactly the same in animation and live action is a room full of people. So if your live action line producer will come in the room, if you say 50 people walk into the room, the same expression from an animated line producer as a live action line producer. They'll both come in and say, can you make it 25? Because in animation, each of those people has to be created by a character designer.
But those are small Korean children, and really, what else they got, right?
Yeah, well, in our case, French-Canadian 20-somethings, I think.
Well, that's the takeaway from this interview, by the way. Look for Community when it debuts on Yahoo sometime around the first of the year, I think, right?
Yep.
And go to Adult Swim for Rick and Morty, which is hilarious. Congratulations on both. It's so nice to meet you finally.
Thank you,
we appreciate it, sir.
Kevin and Dean. Geez, it's been a long time coming.
Absolutely.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I have to say, for an NBA offseason, there certainly seems to be an awful lot of news locally, doesn't there?
Sure does.
Yesterday, the Donald Sterling ruling and also a new coach for the Lakers. We thought we'd catch up with our old friend Matt Money Smith for the Petrus Money Radio Show on AM 570. Hey, Money, how you doing, man?
Who would have thought the Lakers had hired two coaches back-to-back in 2012 and 14, and both of them would have freaking push-broom mustaches, right?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of it that way.
I guess they have a type. So Byron Scott, not an exciting choice, but certainly somebody who Laker fans already admire. Your initial thoughts upon hearing the news yesterday, Money?
Yeah, I think you hit it right there at the end, Bean. It's somebody that Laker fans like that are going to certainly give a chance that if things are going bad, which, you know, I don't know how good things can go for the Lakers this year in a real tough Western Conference with the talent they have. I think they'll just be fighting for a playoff spot. So he's probably somebody they're apt to accept and listen to in the post game about what they're trying to accomplish, and that, you know, we have to accept what's, you know, fighting for a playoff spot as being this year's goal, and I think they're going to take that from Byron. I don't think they would take it from somebody that hadn't won three championships here for them in the 80s.
So, you know, they sort of already like him, and they'll just put up with whatever happens.
I think it's similar to the Kobe contract. You know, I think when they gave Kobe that $48 million, they probably felt like, well, We're not going to get LeBron. Maybe they felt like they'd get Melo, and Kobe's going to be our attraction. So people are going to come to see him play.
Right.
Probably not playing for championships, but they're coming to watch Kobe just build on his legacy.
Come on, eighth place.
Yeah, let's go. Eighth place, and maybe Kobe can chase down Kareem for the point total. Yay!
Now, you've been following Byron Scott for a long time as a coach in the NBA, and he had quite a bit of success in New Jersey and in New Orleans as well. What do you think of him as a coach? Is he a good coach, a good motivator of the players?
You know, I think from talking to people around the league that have been around him, it's mixed, honestly, kind of the vibe on Byron. Some people really like him, think he's the perfect guy for the job. Some people say he's just okay. You know, he's okay in terms of being a tactician. He's okay in terms of being a motivator. He's not, you know, in the bottom third of the league, but he's probably not in the top half. So that's, you know, he's
too many fractions for me. I can't figure that out.
Yeah, so, you know, he's not Greg Popovich or Rick Carlisle or Tom Thibodeau, but he's, you know, I guess he's He's somebody that Laker fans can watch coach their team and say, okay, I'm all right with
but
this.
But let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Even like Greg Popovich, if he became the coach.
Right.
What could anybody do with this season?
Not much. You know, not much. I mean, look, you have a if Steve Nash is totally healthy and playing like he was 3 years ago and Kobe is completely healthy and playing like he was 2 years ago, then okay. Yeah, kind of an interesting team. They don't play a lot of defense, so you're going to have to score 130 points a game to win, and that's kind of what Mike D'Antoni was trying to explain to people, that these guys don't play D. They're not good at playing D. We have to score a boatload of points if we're going
to
win.
It sure does look like the teams that make it to the championships play defense, though.
Every year. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it is one of the most telling statistics that if you are not, and this is, geez, this is probably too technical, but if you're not in the top, probably, say, seven of opponent field goal percentage. That means percentage of the shots that the team you're playing makes. So you want that to be in like the low 40s. If you want to make the finals, win a championship, that's where it's got to be.
Right.
You know, the Lakers, hell, it seemed like at times they were operating it. Teams were making 7 out of every 10 shots they were taking. So that's a very important statistic and a way you have to play basketball in the NBA to win. And the Lakers just, you know, it doesn't look like they have the guys that can do that.
We are talking to our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570, weekday afternoons. All right, we covered the Lakers. Big Clippers news yesterday. It did not come as a surprise, but Donald Sterling is not going to be able to prevent the trust from selling the team.
Right.
So he lost a court case yesterday and will make $2 billion as a result of the sale. Not a bad day for Mr. Sterling.
It's funny you mentioned it. We were talking, Petros and I were talking about this on the air yesterday. I said, it's, you know, if we go back to the Dodger sale, remember how angry people were that Frank McCourt got $2 billion?
Yes.
That really pissed them off.
They bought the team, ran it into the ground, and then cashed out.
I don't get the sense anybody cares that Donald Sterling got $2 billion. I think it's
they
one
just
of those.
Want him gone.
We're so, but everybody wanted Frank McCourt. Remember, people stopped going to Dodger games. I mean,
that's true.
That never happens in L.A. But they were so upset that Frank got $2 billion. Like, how dare he get out of this with money? But I think because maybe Sterling already had a $2 billion, what the hell? I mean, if you're 80 years old and sadly, you know, suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia, what's an extra $2 billion? What's he going to do with that money?
It's not going to change his life at all, is it?
Yeah, I mean, Frank, you could already see, you know, the seeds of plastic surgery being planted.
Sure.
Freshly divorced. Maybe you think about what he's going out and slaying on the town. And it's like, oh, that guy got $2 billion, damn it.
Now, they're saying mid-August it'll probably go through. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, they want it done by August 15th. You know, I mean, pardon the pun, geez, I just almost spit it out without saying that. It's a slam dunk. I mean, it really is. He's got cash. The guy made $2 billion when he left as the CEO of Microsoft from like February to April. Literally made $2 billion.
Yeah.
So
he'll
scratch out a check. He's good to go. And could not be a better situation.
Doc Rivers will be happy. The players will be happy.
Doc has the absolute, bar none, best situation in the NBA. And you know what? He earned it. He's a hero for the way he navigated those 3 weeks. Players around the league love him. Executives love him. The front office of the NBA loves him. He's, you know, he calls the shots when it comes to player signings and who he wants on his team. He's a great coach. He's got stars. I mean, it really is the best case scenario for any team in the NBA right now.
I'm a hardcore Laker fan, and I want the Lakers to always win, but I was really happy for the Clippers, the team, and the fans to get rid of that a-hole.
Yeah.
Really made me happy yesterday.
And I think a lot of that, Kevin, is Doc. I really think that's a big part of it. That,
he's,
you know,
the class in any room.
Yeah, he is. You know, the fact that, you know, what his background is, and for people who don't know, when he was a player in San Antonio, someone, you know, some racist burned his house down. You know, he's the son of a biracial couple from the inner city Chicago, struggled with that growing up. I mean, it was interesting that of all, just how serendipitous it was that that was the guy that was the front man for all of this and had those sort of experiences to rely upon in conveying how his players were feeling, how he was feeling, and how, you know, really the entire league was going to deal with that situation in the midst of the playoffs.
Absolutely. Now, Steve Ballmer, my final question for you, Matt, is he's going to be a hands-off owner, much like his fellow Microsoft billionaire Paul Allen is with the Portland franchise, right?
Well, I don't see any videos of Paul Allen freaking out and ripping his shirt off and screaming at audiences.
I hope that happens.
For Microsoft earnings calls. So he's an interesting person.
Ballmer's crazy.
He is. I mean, he's, for people that don't know the Clippers owner, go to YouTube and just type in Steve Ballmer Microsoft speech, and he's nuts. I mean, he's legitimately nuts, but, you know, I think much like the Guggenheim Group with Mark Walter, they hired Mark Stan Kasten to run the Dodgers, Magic Johnson to be the, you know, the front man, and,
right.
and you barely know Mark. And look, the Dodgers have been in the NLCS, and now they're, you know, challenging for a World Series. So hopefully, it's going to be hard to screw up the Clippers.
Exactly.
The talent they have with Doc as their coach. I mean, they are easily one of the five best teams.
And you're coming off the worst owner in history, so
right.
how bad can you look?
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, the Petros Money Radio Show airs weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on Fox Sports Radio, AM 570. Always great to catch up with you, Money. Thanks so much for the time, sir.
Anytime, guys.
A lot of people unfairly criticize young people in America for not being ambitious, not going out there and getting it. I'd like to present as Exhibit A against that theory, Aaron Semmel, ladies and gentlemen, who joins us in studio, who is shotgunning a beer every single day in 2014 here in Southern California. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I love it. Hello, Bean. Hello, Kevin. Thank you very much. Lisa, Johnny, very good.
Why
to
is
that.
This happening?
this is going back to I've been tracking some social trends in like social media and stuff
okay.
like that. And a big one that's been popping up lately, maybe you guys saw it, is hashtag 100 Days of Happiness.
Yes.
Has anyone seen this?
I've
yeah,
seen this. Yeah, yeah.
So
yes.
over the last couple months, I've literally been watching this, and it's kind of gotten to the point where you see somebody who's like, you know, hashtag 100 Days of Happiness, day 36. Starbucks guy spelled my name right.
Wow.
I am happy. And I was kind of like, I felt like there's something there, a statement I could make that's saying, what would be my commitment? What would be my pledge? What could I do to kind of tell the world that I'm doing this on social media?
And what you thought was, I do this anyway. How can I use it? How can I use it on Twitter?
Exactly.
Or Instagram. Sorry.
Exactly.
So, Aaron, you are or are not currently an alcoholic?
I am not an alcoholic. But I will take that moment to say that there are some people who seriously do struggle with this. So as much as fun as I have with this,
right.
I do want to say that it's not all fun and games, and as much as I shotgun beers, I am not a debaucherous drinker. I don't
right.
drink often. And if you do have problems, please watch out. Don't be watching my Instagram and start
you're a professional.
Games.
That's why.
I'm a professional beer shotgunner. That's what I am.
And
that's
quite a gig. And I was just kidding. Look, there's no harm in having a beer a day anyway. So is this an unusual time of day for you to be doing your shotgunning?
I would say this is probably going to be the earliest shotgun I have done in this process. I have shotgun beers earlier in my life, I would have to say.
Right, of
but
course.
That was
no.
at the end of a line.
Yeah, it was like
no
a little bit of the hair of the dog that bit you,
right.
you know,
sure.
when you wake up.
Sure.
You got to roll with
all
it.
Right. So, where else have you done it?
Oh, man. It's
all Southern California, right? Or is it
so
all California?
Well, so far, I do plan to travel soon, but
okay.
I've been I do it at Roscoe's. I've been to the Wiltern Theater. I've been outside the Bat Cave, the original Bat Cave from the original series.
Nice.
I went to the La Brea Tar Pits yesterday.
Okay.
I was up at Big Bear last weekend. There's different videos I make. Some are locales. Some are what I call reveals, which are like funny little scenes or stories where all of a sudden it's a surprise.
Right.
Surprise! Shotgun a beer. You know what I mean?
What kind of reaction are you getting from your Instagram followers about this campaign?
I can't believe the support or the...
Like why?
The passion. The passion behind my followers is insane. I get sent direct messages of people shotgunning their own beers.
Sure.
I get people,
hey, look, we're doing it.
Yeah, look at the comments.
Check us out.
Somebody will say, come on, dude, you're not doing it right. And all of a sudden, 20 guys will be like, leave this dude alone, man. This guy's my hero, you know? I'm like, jeez.
Now, Aaron, you had one video taken down by Instagram, and I'm surprised by that because it seems like what you're doing is funny and pretty clean. What was their problem with it?
I'm not sure, but what happened is I
filmed... Why is your cameraman laughing then?
Yeah, exactly.
He was on the toilet.
He was on a toilet. I thought it'd be funny. I'm sitting on a toilet. I reach over toilet paper. There's no toilet paper. I turn around. I open my cabinet. I take out a beer and I shotgun it. I thought it was perfectly clean.
That's very funny.
Yeah, my girlfriend actually filmed it. We were very careful.
Nothing showed.
She's like, Aaron, I could see it. Tuck in.
Sure.
So I tucked in. There's no nudity, no nothing.
And they took it down.
They took it down.
Now, did you have to replace that, or does that count still in your mind?
Let me make a special announcement.
Yes, please.
Kevin. Right now, today is going to be hopefully the only day. I'm actually going to shoot two videos. We're going to shoot the one here live on the radio, which
okay.
will be my normal one.
Right.
Okay. And later this afternoon, I'm going to do a make good. I'm going to post
okay.
a make good video for Thursday, June 26th. That was
okay.
the day that they took down.
Okay.
I'm
very responsible, Aaron.
There's no appeal process. There's no nothing. I live in this like militant world of Instagram that won't let me, you know, they just take it down. So I'm going to put a new one up and we'll just move forward. Hopefully, pray to God, Instagram, I love you guys. Do not delete my account. Do not take any more of my videos down. I will be a good boy, I promise.
Aaron, what's the end game here? How far are you going to go? How many days?
365 days. I started on June 19th. So June 19th, 2015 will be my 365th beer.
And then...
And then fortune and, then and glory.
Fortune and glory.
Okay. Going to write a book.
A memoir.
Oprah.
A movie based on your life.
Sure. I'm hoping Medal of Honor from the White House. Sure. I don't know. Yeah. We'll figure it
out. Well, we are honored that you asked us, Aaron, because you're going to Southern California landmarks, you know, as you mentioned, places like the Hollywood Forever Cemetery and Roscoe's and the Wiltern and the Hollywood Wax Museum and places like that. So you consider K-Rock to be – we make the grade as far as you're concerned.
Oh, there's nothing more iconic. Okay. Are you kidding? Going all the way back – remember Rain Man? Weren't you guys? It was mentioned in Rain Man. He was driving across.
Oh, Madison. Yes.
I mean, ever since I was a kid, I'm from Chicago. I'm born and raised Chi-Town. So K-Rock is as famous and as big a radio station as it gets, I think. I love it.
Awesome. Well, what do you need from us as we prepare to have you shotgun your beer to put up on Instagram for today? Anything?
Well, the one thing I would like to ask, I don't know if it's possible, but I thought it would be really fun if somebody shotgunned with me. And Lisa's right next to me.
She really is.
If
that's
Lisa's
true.
Down for this, I think it could be fun.
Lisa's always down for this. Life. Oh, please,
I kind of
Lisa.
Assume, I kind of assume.
Yes.
She could swallow the can.
I could help you.
Right. I don't know how to do it, but I'll try.
All right, Lisa's going to try. He'll teach you.
I have two.
There you go.
There's yours.
All paths.
This is about to get very messy.
I need another key.
Lisa, don't open it.
Don't open it yet. You got to wait. Wow, Lisa's never shotgun a beer.
Like the carbonation very much.
Yes,
this
do
isn't
going
to go well.
I'm only going to recommend one thing. Yeah, you just take this key.
I'll do it.
You're going to jam it in here. Johnny's here.
He's going to help.
He's stepping in. Lisa's already like.
I have bad.
She needs an assistant.
Is there a towel?
Oh, you're gonna pop it for her?
Yeah, he's just going to get it ready for
her. Oh, okay. Excellent. Lisa, it's you and me. Aaron Samuel, Lisa May. We're going to rock
right
this
here.
Thing.
All right, so here we go. On July 29th, 2014, Aaron Samuel shotgunning a can of beer a day. He's doing it with Lisa May and.
Well, you're good.
Okay.
Like sideways.
And. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right, go.
Go.
Here we go.
Oh, is that messy? Wow, is there beer everywhere?
He's done. Lisa's like half.
And Lisa's done.
Lisa did it. Lisa did it.
Wow. Only 364 more days, Lisa.
That went way faster than I thought.
Thank you.
If
that
you want to follow him, it's Instagram.com, and it's Shotgun a Beer Every Day.
Yeah, Shotgun a Beer Every Day. When you get back to your phone, just remember my voice. Shotgun a Beer Every Day on Instagram. Log
well
in,
done,
follow.
Lisa. Well done, Aaron.
Thank
good luck
you,
to you,
guys.
Sir.
Kevin Bean, Lisa, Johnny, seriously, thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
On to the Harbor Freeway from the 105 and the southbound.
Lisa.
Sorry. Southbound 110 is slow from Avenue 43.
Come on.
What can you do? It's a beer. South 170 at Oxnard. Three-car crash in one of the middle lanes. Ventura Freeway westbound.
Oh, Lisa. Man.
And that one smells.
Yes, it does.
West 101 at Reseda. It's the left lane. South 55 before the 405 in Costa Mesa. It's a two-car crash in the right lane.
Hold it. Don't let it go.
And one beer really hit her.
Hold it.
Did you hear that?
Smoke came out.
Farmers Insurance believes that the more you know, the better you can plan for what's ahead. To find your local agent and get smarter about your insurance, call 888-96-FARMERS. That's 888-96-FARMERS. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Ralph is here. Time for the show. It's been on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
This studio smells like beer mug's rug.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
We told Aaron when he came in, we were like, just try not to get it on any of the equipment. Your whole side of the room has been covered in beer.
Yeah,
so sorry about that.
It smells like I imagine beer mug's carpet smells like at home.
My lips
like
are numb. Is that
like
normal?
Being back in college,
yeah,
isn't it, Ralph?
Yeah, you're fine.
I had no food today. I'm feeling a little buzzed.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to. That's the idea of beer.
Oh, dear God.
Although, there's only one.
That is the idea of beer. Kevin's got it.
Thank you.
By the way, for someone who's never shotgunned a beer, how impressed were you guys as to how fast she was able to do it?
No, I was impressed.
She was impressed. Aaron was impressed. She's like, yeah. I thought it was going to be a gag. She was just going to put it down. You know, she was going to start it and then drop us. I had no idea. She did such a great job.
Yeah. Yeah. She almost tied him.
Clearly, I have a passion for beer.
Lisa has skills. Let me just say that.
Or swallowing. One or the
other. Maybe that's it.
Maybe that is it. Before we get to the showbiz news, I got something for you.
Alan has used our service to...
That's not it.
What
the hell was that? It was set on the wrong setting over here. I got it. Back away.
See
back
how
away.
That happens?
I've got something to give you.
Yeah! I'm going to hey, what's going on?
Holy moly, it's tickets to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
Yeah! Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
heroes in a half shell,
turtle power!
Mugs comes to life. It is the best part of his day when he gets to do that. Of course, the return of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on the big screen. K-Rock's having a special screening on August the 6th at the Arclight Hollywood Movies and Theaters Everywhere on August the 8th. But you, my lucky, lucky friends, will be able to see it before your friends. If you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers you get through at that number will get a pair of passes to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Lisa, for God's sake.
So sorry.
Turn your mic off.
Gwen Stefani, how amazing does she look at 44 years of age?
She's incredible.
She looks amazing.
Deal with the devil.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
She has not aged since we started playing
not a bit.
Tragic Kingdom on this station all those years ago. It's nuts. How does she do it? What's her secret? I'll tell you. I'll tell you the secret.
What?
Ancient Chinese therapies.
Like?
Like she's a big fan of acupuncture, for example.
All right. Is shotgunning a beer in there anywhere?
Does not say whether she shotguns beers in the morning to retain
that would be so much cheaper.
Retain her good looks. Sources say she likes to get poked for everything.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
She uses acupuncture.
Oh, okay.
For anything. Migraine headaches, back pain, morning sickness when she was pregnant, stress. She goes in almost every day.
What?
To have needles put into her chakras.
Hmm. I'm not sure I believe that, but it's hard to argue with the results.
I'm telling you. And apparently it is keeping her flow of energy in check and keeping everything,
her chi
all aligned that has made her look so radiant and glowing all these years.
Very impressive.
I'm going to try it on Kevin. Give me some needles.
I'd rather not.
Give me some just the sewing needles. Anything you got. Give me a straightened paper clip.
I would rather not.
I'm going to work on Kevin, see if I can brighten him up a little bit.
I'm good. You sure? Sharp as I can be, Ralph.
Are you sure about that? Is that true?
Acupuncture saved me, Ralph.
Really?
It really saved you from what?
Well, I had like Kevin, I had
heroin OD,
lifelong back pain, back problems that were just. I mean, I ended up in the emergency room a few times. I mean, it was awful.
I thought you were the healthiest man we know.
I am the healthiest man you know.
Oh, okay.
And tried everything. Tried all the all the drugs and all the shots and all the physical therapies and all the things that you could try. And then I finally, at the end of my rope, tried acupuncture, which I was in no way a believer of, and went against my will. And in one session, I felt better. In two sessions, I was essentially cured and have had very little back pain since then.
You remember when you got off the table?
you did pass out and hit your head on a radiator.
And this has been years now. I would say that it improved, my back by 95%.
Wow.
It was a miracle. It was a miracle.
That's
what are
awesome.
You doing now?
What's over there with the timpani?
Hitting the wrong button just like you did, Mr. Ralph Garman.
That wasn't my fault. Somebody had monkeyed with my machine.
Same.
No, you didn't. No one monkeyed with your machine.
Yeah, there's monkeying going on.
There's no monkey.
A whole lot of monkeying.
No monkey.
If you like the monkey, don't eat the meat. That's my advice.
That's excellent advice.
But, I definitely am a believer in it, but the type of thing you're talking about for Gwen Stefani just sounds like it's a cure-all for her. It helps her with everything.
Yeah, and it sounds like she uses it even when she doesn't have a particular symptom or issue. She just likes to go because she thinks it improves her overall health.
It sounds to me like maybe she hit the DNA lottery, and this helps a little.
Obviously, she's got good genes.
Right, exactly. But, she would have looked great anyway.
But, well, you don't know that.
I would guess so, wouldn't you?
Maybe. There's a lot of attractive people in their 20s who do not look like
I know
they looked in their 20s at 44.
Oh, I know.
And I think if she's doing something aggressive about it, and that you have to factor that in and give it some credit.
All right.
Can't discount it.
No,
but I think she would look the same if she wasn't doing it.
Can't give it full credit either.
No, I'm not saying that.
No, you're right. We have no way of knowing.
Right.
That's right. So shut up.
I'll punch you.
You don't know.
I'll punch you both.
Lisa's loaded.
I'm a little loaded.
Drunk Lisa.
I'll punch you both. My mouth isn't working exactly
both.
Right anymore.
My lips are numb, and I'll punch you both.
Is that normal? My lips are... I can't feel my lips.
USA Network has picked up a new TV show from Lost and Bates Motel producer Carlton Cuse. We love Carlton.
Yes, we do. What's
it's a
this
show
one?
Called Colony. It's about an alien occupation of Los Angeles. The aliens land, and they colonize L.A.
That's what's happening now. They're doing that.
These are aliens from another planet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Okay.
Some humans collaborate with the aliens, Bean, while others rebel.
Me.
Lisa with her...
Lisa.
Numb lips.
She just roll a pack of smokes up in her T-shirt, get some keys, and she'll be out there kicking ass, taking names. The show focuses apparently on one family, which is torn apart by the invasion. Half of them are... collaborators. The other half want to fight up against the man, and so that's their story. That could be interesting. It's kind of like V, I guess, right?
Yeah. It was like the movie The Battle of Los Angeles, too, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Sort with of. The Marines taking on the aliens. Anything. Carlton Cuse is involved when I'm going to give it a
agreed.
Shot. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Danger Mouse is 37 years old. Josh Radnor turns 40 years old. Stephen Dorff, 41. Will Wheaton is 42 years old. Ken Burns, director, 61, and Geddy Lee of the legendary Canadian rock band Rush celebrates his 61st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Mr. Michael Esparza from Azusa, thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. We will see you in person Friday morning in the Red Bull Sound Space as we have breakfast with Arcade Fire. Michael is also going to win tickets to go see the band at the Forum this weekend as well. Your chance to win coming up later on this hour here on K-Rock.
Did you guys see Lucy over the last weekend?
Mm-hmm. I would like to see that. I did not make it this weekend, but man, Scarlett Johansson and Luc Besson, the director who did The Fifth Element and a bunch of stuff, really does good work.
Yeah, saying that she uses 100% of her brain all the time. Seems a little crazy.
Yeah.
But it was a huge success. How much did it make? $45 million or something like that?
It's crazy.
Well, and the reviews were actually pretty good, although they all said the premise was kind of crazy.
Yeah, right. Well, because scientifically, it doesn't hold any water.
Right.
That's what
bothers me especially.
Yeah, you're a man of science.
Uh-huh. But you know what? When you go to see the Planet of the Apes, we're not really living on the Planet of the Apes either. I mean,
that's
sometimes
true.
You just go, it's a movie and it's not real life. But this won't surprise you, Kevin, is because of the huge success of the Scarlett Johansson movie over the weekend, they're already talking about a sequel. They've already got a sequel to Lucy planned.
That kind of talk happens faster and faster these days.
It does. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy has already been, they've already scheduled a sequel, you know, and a release date for a sequel. That movie hasn't even opened
not
yet.
Not even out yet.
But what do we know? What do we know about the Lucy
sequel? We don't
know
anything, but it's the sequel and we have the trailer.
I can't wait.
Lucy is the most popular movie in America. The story of what happens when a human being can use 100% of her brain. But the story doesn't end there. Coming this Christmas, from the creators of Lucy, comes Kevin.
Yeah, what's up?
Starring Morgan Freeman and introducing Kevin Ryder.
That's a toss-up.
It's said that human beings can only access 10% of their brains.
I need meat.
What would happen if someone could access no part of their brain?
I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden.
At 9%, they start to hang up on world famous celebrities.
There you go.
Oops. You hung up on Paul McCartney. He was saying goodbye.
At 7%, they'd lose the ability to pronounce the names of famous actors.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
At 5%, unable to read the name of popular musicians off a sheet of paper.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae. An unforgettable moment with an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey-Rae.
Wow.
At 4%, they lose the ability to distinguish between primary colors.
What in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group? These guys, they paint their faces red.
At 3%, you forget how to put words in order for a sentence.
And yeah. Sports Illustrated model cover.
2%, you forget how a phone works.
Christina and Jeff, you guys both have to hold on. No, don't go to Christina yet, though, because she's... that's fine. But have Chris and
right.
Jeff hold on.
And at 0%,
The ability to use the human language just simply breaks down.
Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
If you thought Lucy was amazing, just wait till you meet Kevin.
Worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
The terrifying true story of a man whose brain simply stopped working.
Thank you for playing, and thank you, Mr.
Coming this Christmas to a theater near you, Kevin.
Going to the premiere. Whatever we're calling it. I don't understand any of these words.
You'll never forget him, and he'll never remember you.
I don't know what I was just going to say.
Looks pretty good.
It looks awesome.
I'm in.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
None of those words strung together made a sentence of any kind.
Nope. I wasn't drunk.
You're reading a list.
I've been there so many times. I feel you, Lisa.
Thank you.
I think we'll get some more moments with Lisa May if we stay on the air a little bit longer today, because it's really starting to hit her now, that beer she shotgunned.
Is that normal?
Guys.
We'll find her asleep on somebody's couch in their office like we did last time. She imbibed in something.
Yeah, I was there for like...
She was passed
hours.
Out, and we were talking about her, and she told me, like, the next day I could hear everything you guys were saying. I was like, I could have sworn you were in a coma. That's awesome. All right.
She's going to be out there hugging a tree in the parking lot in a few minutes.
9:37, time for the final showbiz beat of the day.
Thank you, sir. Halle Berry's show, Extant.
Canceled?
Not yet.
Oh.
But there's trouble. There's trouble there. CBS is moving the show after 2 weeks of declining ratings.
Oh, that's a good sign, though. They start moving around the schedule.
Has anyone watched it?
The show will be airing an hour later, starting with tomorrow night's episode, and they're kind of pushing it back in the schedule a little bit.
You mean anyone as in the
like
world?
Us?
Oh, in the room.
In us.
I have not seen an episode. Nor do I have any desire, really, to see
it. I don't either.
Episode.
Even though it is, you know, Steven Spielberg approved, I still could not garner up enough interest to tune in.
I am not a fan of Halle Berry's. I know she's an Oscar winner and everything, but I find her...
Does she over-emote for you?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. I find her straining at all times. She's working so hard to act when she does something. It makes me uncomfortable.
She should be on Scandal.
She should be. Those two should be play sisters on Scandal. Kurt Cobain! Of course, no longer with us.
What?
However, we may get to see his life story portrayed on the big screen. The Kurt Cobain biopic will begin production in 2015, according to Courtney Love. Now, keep in mind, this information is coming from Courtney Love. She says she will have a say in casting. I'm sure she will. Can you imagine her not?
Yeah.
Along with her daughter, Frances Bean Cobain. She also says that Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic will also have some say,
I hope,
in the casting of the film. Courtney says she's right now looking over demo reels from many young actors to pick who should play Kurt Cobain. I just don't see that happening. I don't see some director or producer saying, here, you look at all the casting tapes and you let us know who should play.
Yeah.
She may be able to have a say, but I don't think she's a casting director.
She's not picking
in this
someone,
case.
Right.
Some names that have been thrown around already, Ryan Gosling, Rob Pattinson, Ewan McGregor, and Jared Leto. I think Ewan, if he was a little younger, would be the perfect choice.
My thought about Jared, too. I think he's too old, really.
I think he looks young enough that he could pass for young Kurt.
Yeah, right. I could see that.
Documentary about Nirvana also in the works. So for Nirvana fans, looks like there's a lot for you to sink your teeth into upcoming.
May I make my suggestion for who should play Kurt Cobain?
Sure.
Ralph Garman.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I'm often stopped to say, it's uncanny how much you remind me of Kurt Cobain. One Direction's in the news. Zayn Malik, one of the members, has started quite the Twitter kerfuffle. He tweeted on Sunday, hashtag Free Palestine. Well, as you can imagine, that is a political and social hot button. And the negative responses poured in, like, are you still alive? You should be dead by now. And the all-time favorite, kill yourself!
Sure.
There were other less threatening responses. We're kind of on the sad side. One fan tweeted, you have fans in Israel. It broke my heart that one of my idols wants me to die. Zayn, however, left his tweet up, unlike Rihanna, who also posted the exact same thing but deleted hers 8 minutes later. He's standing by it. Zayn apparently was raised as a Muslim in the UK and feels strongly on the subject matter, and I can understand that, but I also think you're in One Direction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you wait maybe till you run for office or something before you start chiming in on this particular issue?
Leave the complex politics to other people.
Just go boy banding.
Hey, One Direction! What do you guys put in your hair? Right, answer that question first.
That's an excellent question. Now, I got a chance to meet the lovely Nina DeBrev at Comic-Con over the weekend. Boy, she's a sweetheart. She apparently has a new boyfriend.
Hoochie coochie.
If this is true, they are a spectacular-looking couple.
Right.
And I like them both enormously, so I wish them the best. Ben McKenzie.
Really?
Wow. Seen as young Jim Gordon in the series Gotham.
All right.
Over there on Fox. Apparently they are a brand new item.
I like that. That does seem like a power couple.
It does. They're both talented, good-looking, seemingly nice people. So I'm all for that. I vote yes.
Hold on a sec. King of Mexico, outrage. Dave, what's the problem? What's wrong with Nina DeBrov and Ben McKenzie together?
She's not dating Ben McKenzie. They're friends, and he was helping her out of Comic-Con at one of the parties. And
he was helping her out of her pants.
Someone in the internet says they're dating, but they're not.
And you know.
How do you know?
And you know how.
Because I read it in the internet.
Okay, great.
Does Dave have a Google alert on
Dave
DeBrov? That's what it sounds
like. In the internet,
Oh, he read it in the internet, did he?
Wow.
That's my favorite magazine.
Why is Ralph's source any less credible than your source?
We don't know. From the internet, you say the other from the internet.
Give me a second. Move on. I'll come back to you.
I just gotta
research
it. Don't
believe the internet. I've always said that.
That's true.
But even less than the internet, don't believe Dave.
Right.
Don't believe the internet. Freddie Prinze Jr. was also at Comic-Con over the weekend, an interview with ABC News where he talked about why he hasn't been really seen in many projects recently. He took a little break from acting after 2010, after he worked on the series 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. Apparently it was that experience that almost drove him out of the profession entirely.
Wow.
Working with Kiefer Sutherland on the series 24 nearly led me to quit acting altogether. I did 24. It was terrible. I hated every moment of it. I just wanted to quit the business after that, so I just sort of stopped. Kiefer was the most unprofessional dude in the world. That's not me talking trash. I'd say it to his face. And I think everyone that's worked with him has said that.
Wow. Very rare to hear somebody speaking out like that publicly, especially against somebody who's as popular and as powerful as Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah. Kiefer's camp has responded. Kiefer himself has not replied to that verbal assault, but his people told People magazine, Kiefer worked with Freddie more than 5 years ago, and this is the first he has heard of Freddie's grievances. Kiefer enjoyed working with Freddie and wishes him the best.
Sure.
I'm sure he does.
Said the lawyer.
Said someone connected to him. And Zac Efron and Michelle Rodriguez are still a couple. At least I know what Zach's getting out of it. Star Magazine says they recently took a trip to Italy, and Michelle Rodriguez had to pay for the entire vacation because he has basically partied his money all the way.
Really?
Yeah. I bet High School Musical 5's not looking too bad now, is it, Zach? The college years, or whatever they call it. Grad school. You're in.
Oh, my gosh, I can't find it so beautiful.
He is beautiful. It's new release day, because it's Tuesday.
You know, Tuesdays are my happiest day of the year. I got new releases and IHOP.
Your happiest day of the year? Is it really?
Or the week, whatever. Whatever.
Tuesday is the happiest day of the year. It's strange.
That's like this morning when I was hearing Bean talk about the guy who blows up hot water bottles.
What?
The guy who expands hot water bottles with his lungs until they burst.
Yeah.
And Bean said, I can't imagine it's very easy to blow up a hot water heater.
Now that would be
impressive. A guy blowing into a hot water heater until that burst, that's the guy I want to talk to.
Look, I am in no way a competent broadcaster.
No, but that made me laugh. Just to see a guy just like blowing in the bottom end of a giant water tank trying to explode it. The idea made me laugh. New CDs out today. The Voyager by Jenny Lewis. Oh,
ooh,
Jenny.
I like her.
Jenny Lewis.
I like her.
I got nothing.
Who is Jenny Lewis? Solo artist a couple years, but she was lead singer of the band Rilo Kiley, if you remember that.
I remember that band. Yeah.
Very talented.
All right. Guardians of the Galaxy, Awesome Mix Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
songs from the movie. Clapton and Friends, The Breeze. It's the name of their new CD. Eric Clapton with a bunch of friends coming by and playing on that disc with him. DVDs. The Other Woman, starring Cameron Diaz, Leslie Mann, and Kate Upton. Whew.
Yeah.
If that would cure me, if I had a terminal illness, and they said, if you just sit down and watch The Other Woman for 2 hours.
Yes, you would.
You will have a clean bill of health.
Yes, you would.
I would, but I'd pause. I would watch it, but I'd go,
ooh, tough call.
Okay. All right. Strap me in. I can do this.
And that's really saying something because Kate Upton is in it.
I know, but.
I know.
But.
I'm with you.
But.
There's that other stuff.
Noah!
Oh, I never saw that. I want to see that.
Well, yeah, you can. It's on DVD now. You can see it.
Today's your
day. With Russell Crowe, right?
And Jennifer Connelly.
It's going to be the best day of the year for you, B.
Tuesdays are the best day of the year for me. Cuban Fury, starring Nick Frost, Chris O'Dowd, and Rashida Jones. How did this become a thing that I didn't know about?
Cuban Fury.
I think we talked.
It's the dance movie. This is the dance movie. Okay.
Yes, we talked to Nick about that. Well, now it's coming back to me. And Bad Johnson, about a guy's penis that becomes its own person.
Oh, right. Okay. That's right. Yes. His penis becomes human.
His penis separates from his body and becomes a human.
Remember, we threatened to fire Dave when you showed us that trailer to ask if we wanted anyone on from the movie.
Cam Gigante stars, and that's available for your entertainment dollar. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danger Mouse is 37 years old today. Josh Radnor is 40. You know, all morning long, thanks to Dave the King of Mexico who puts this list together for me, I had no idea that my good friend and co-star of the upcoming Kevin Smith film Tusk, Genesis Rodriguez, was celebrating her birthday
today. Oh, no kidding.
So it's a little bit late, but I wanted to give Jenny a shout-out. She is a sweetheart and a very talented actress.
When do you think you'll stop trusting Dave the King of Mexico with your birthday list?
You would think at some point I would just start doing the work myself.
At least double-check it.
That's true.
Not my fault.
But it is,
always.
Though. Stephen Dorff is 41. Josh Radnor is 40. Did I mention Josh Radnor?
I don't know.
Will Wheaton's 42. Ken Burns is 61. And Geddy Lee, voice of Rush!
Take off to the great big door. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great big door.
Decent singing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's what good,
a,
eh?
What a crazy voice.
Beauty singing, eh? He's really good, eh? He is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have the director of Sharknado 2, the second one, Anthony Ferrante. He will be in the program. Very excited about that. Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage. We're going to talk to Vince Van Patten and Mike Sexton about the World Poker Tour. We have Malcolm, who I believe is in a band, and he's 2-3 years old.
I think he's around 12 years old. Unlocking the Truth, very popular, just signed a big major label, multi-million dollar deal.
How many guys in that band, you know?
Three.
I think there's three.
Is Malcolm in the middle?
That's a good setup. Got to give you props for that one. No file. Well played.
None of us saw that, Kevin.
Well played. That's all tomorrow morning, along with your tickets for our breakfast with Arcade Fire.